I first want to go to the halachas that are associated with kashering. Just a few asides about bedikas chametz. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, there will be a shir on the Haggadah, and we'll go into issues of bedikas chametz, which is associated with it at length. But what's important to remember is particularly the clothes that have been hanging in the closet, that have not gone off to the cleaners, and spring clothes that we haven't used in a while, but those we need to check the pockets for all types of things that we stuff into them, the handbags that we take to work, all types of chametz that we're likely to find, you know, tucked away in them, and to make sure that we check them before the chag. I want to deal with the basics of kashering, and I'll try to do it in a fashion which is the logical way one ought to progress if one wants to do this. And consequently, as I always say, the place that one has to begin is with the stovetop. And the reason for that is that it is very hard to get anything kosher if we don't have any hot water. And therefore, the first thing we have to do is to get the stovetop kosher to Pesach, so we could take a Pesach kettle out, put it on the stove, and begin to get hot water and begin. So let's start with the stovetop, and then we will progress from the stovetop to the other things that we have to do to actually prepare for Yom Tov. Stovetops broadly come in two types. If one has problems with glass top ovens, we can speak about it privately. I myself am perplexed about really how to handle the problem. There are certain limitations of glass tops, because if you want to cause it to disintegrate into about 1,000 pieces, just cover it and put the heat on, and you will succeed in doing what I examined in the house of one of my friends, one of my Chassidish friends, who put the blech on the first Shabbos that he had it. And by the time Shabbos was over, he had about 1,000 pieces under the blech. So I don't really know the solution to that problem. But let's deal with the problems that we can deal with easily at the moment. Stoves come in two types, stove tops. They're electric and gas. Electric is very, very simple. You put electric at the highest heat for a few minutes, and it's kosher. If you want to be super machmer, you can put even a piece of aluminum foil. If it doesn't turn red, and it will turn red, which is way more than you have to do. You're not mechuyev to make it turn red. But if it turns red, it's absolute limun, and that certainly is kosher lepesach. So that the kosher, the range top, the burners on an electric stove is a matter of a few minutes of work. That's all. Just put it on. Even if they're not 100% clean, when you put it on, it will burn everything off that's on there, unless it's caked, which they rarely are, and burn off any oil that's on there. In a few minutes, they will be hot enough to be more than kosher. So that's simple enough. Gas ranges, the grates and gas ranges, do not get hot so quickly. Now, if you have, which is the easiest thing to do, separate grates for Pesach, is matoyt manon. Wherever I lived, my mother, Allah HaShalom, made it her business, as soon as we moved in, to get a brand new set of grates that she put away for Pesach. We never kashered a set of grates in my house for Pesach. It never happened. We moved in, my mother went, and whoever ran the building that we lived in, she arranged to get a brand new set of grates from them, we put them away for Yontif, and that's it. That's the way it was. But if you don't have replacement grates, they're not that hard to kasher. One has to take heavy-duty foil and set it just a little bit above the grate, so it doesn't touch the grate directly, just slightly above it. Set the flame on, but make sure that the flame does not hit the foil paper, just below the foil paper, and leave it that way for about 15-20 minutes. Now, let me tell you what to do and what not to do. Do not take one big piece of foil paper and put on all four burners at once and cover the entire range top. Whoever designed these ovens did not design them for such a fiery assault. And if we do such things, we're going to succeed in damaging the oven. We'll probably succeed in singeing the enamel. But rather take a small piece of foil and put it on one burner that should not stick out over the enamel. And do not do more than one or two with a shot. And when you finish with those, then do the other two. And then you will succeed in kashering without burning the oven up. Now, after that, now you do have to clean, obviously, if you have drawers, etc., underneath, drip pans, etc. I mean, it's a good idea just to take them out. You don't have to go crazy about it, but clean out whatever easily comes out. You don't want a pile of chametz down there. But on the other hand, there's nothing that's going down there that's coming back up again on Yontif, so it does not present too much of a problem, whatever is down there. So whatever easily you can get out, you clean out. Now wash off all around the stovetop as best you can. Now after the grates are kosher, you're going to cover the rest of the stovetop because we don't really have any means of kashering that appropriately for Yontif. And therefore, cover the rest, including the drip pans. If you don't have new drip pans for Yontif, then cover the drip pans as well, whether it's an electric oven or a gas oven. And that basically, that's what you have to do to kasher it. So it's not a wall, it's not the most daunting problem in the world. I mean, you do not need Liban Gomer, you do not need absolute Liban, you don't need to put them on a fire and have the grates turn red. If you want, you could probably put them into a self-cleaning oven, and they probably will survive the experience. Most people that have done it tell me they do survive the experience. I don't think anyone has told me yet that they've melted. But there's no reason to put them in something very fiery. I mean, I know people, in fact, that have put them into tremendously hot fires, the grates, and they succeeded in melting the grates, you know. I'm aware of such, but there's no necessity. There's no need for Liban Gomer. Mitzad HaDin, we're not talking in actual practice, but Mitzad HaDin, suppose you went into a treif house on Pesach where they cooked treif and chametz today, and you took your pot of Pesach chicken soup and put it down on that grate, and assuming the grate was clean at this point in time when you started and you warmed it up, non-kosher, the soup would remain 100% kosher. That's the halacha. We have all types of chumrah stuff. We are very stringent and meticulous on Yontif, and we should be, but Mitzad HaDin, if it happened, the soup would be 100% kosher LePesach. So we have all types of reasons that we're machmer, that we kasher the stovetops, and we should kasher the stovetops according to the Shulchan Aruch. But again, we don't need an absolute Liban. It doesn't have to turn red. Even the mildest form of Liban is fine, and what I've out-described to you, the post can feel is sufficient to kasher it. So there's no need to put it through a red-hot, you know, situation. Now, once the stovetop is kosher, then we can go on to other things in the kitchen. Now the ovens usually prove to be the most difficult thing that we have to kosher. And the reason is that due to the intense heat in the oven, just things get baked on to the oven. Now it has become a lot easier nowadays with more and more people have self-cleaning ovens nowadays. I mean, in the 20 years that I'm here, every person that replaces an oven, basically, there's no one that will think of buying an oven that's not a self-cleaning oven nowadays. So you do have to remember, you cannot put a self-cleaning oven in a self-cleaning cycle if you have a lot of grease in the bottom of the oven, because you're going to start a fire. I mean, there's a fellow that I know who just forgot to clean out the bottom of the oven. He put it on self-clean, and in short order, the night before Yontif, he had flames shooting out of the vents in the back of the stovetop. Fortunately, he's a guy that likes to have gadgets around, so he grabbed his fire extinguisher on him, and he doused it. The fire department came, and he got away without damage, except a little bit. He had soot all over the place that he had to clean up in the night of B'dikas Chometz. But other than that, he survived. So I don't want it to happen to you. So you have to make sure before you start that you don't start with an oven that's too greasy. If it's too greasy, clean out the grease first. The self-cleaning is good, you know, for small spots that you have, but not for getting rid of a puddle of grease for the chicken or something else, or the kugel that spilled down last week that's sitting on the bottom of the oven. Not a very good idea. So put up the self-cleaning oven for 3 hours, and that should suffice. Now, if you have stains left, spots left at the end, what you should do is put ammonia on them and scrub them and put it up again until they're removed. I think after the second time, I wouldn't worry too much about them. You scrub them with a little bit of ammonia, for example, and some type of brush, and you put it up a second time, if there's anything that remains after that, I would not be concerned about it. I'm also not from those that think that you have to worry about the door. Even though the door does not get as hot as the rest, you do not have to worry about it. You should see that it's clean. Particularly, what's very, very important with the ovens is to clean around the gasket which holds the heater at the edge of the oven, and also around the right outside the doors of the oven, where the food can fall down in between the door and the oven itself, there you have to pay particular attention to clean that out. That's a place which is usually, if you go home and you look tonight, unless you're a very fayekish to balabusta, but if you're a regular balabusta, you'd be surprised how much you're going to find down there in the crack in between the oven door and the oven. It's a place which tends to gather chametz. And that's certainly a very bad place to have chametz, because it can easily fall into the food that you're dealing with on Yom Tov as well. Yes. If you can't get it off, just leave it there in 3 hours and you'll be fine. I don't see a problem. If in itself it's metal, it will undergo the process of libud. But I would imagine, I'm surprised, did you ever try pouring ammonia on it, leaving ammonia on it, like for 24 hours on the oven floor? That should very likely will cause it to harm.
And I don't have to get a new replacement. It comes out.
What? Which part comes out?
The bottom part of the
oven. I don't know if you have to. I think you would have libun even without that. I would not be worried about it. But I think that if you pour ammonia on the bottom and leave it there for about 24 hours, that it will break up. That's what I imagine in my experience. Yeah. What happens if you don't have a self-cleaning oven? Yeah, so let me tell you what to do if you don't have a self-cleaning oven. And that is the following. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then what you need to do is to wash the oven out very, very well. You should put the oven on for about an hour and a half at the highest heat. And after that, you should line the oven. And what I find is the best is to line the oven that it should function properly is take the heavy-duty aluminum foil and are extra heavy duty and make big pieces that go all around the oven. If you make a U-shaped piece that goes around the three walls of the oven, then you could put a piece on the top too, which will cover the top, will be supported on the sides, and you put a piece on the bottom. And you have to be very careful to push it in very carefully along where the tracks are for the racks, that it should be very tight and smooth over there. And give the racks to someone else that has self-cleaning oven to put in their self-cleaning oven. And then put the racks back inside on top of the floor, put it in carefully. And once you put the racks in, don't take them out again until Yom Tov is over, because otherwise you're going to tear the foil up. One time, you can gently squeeze them in, you'll get them in, and then just leave them where they are. I mean, I did that before we had a self-cleaning, that's what we did in my house. Yeah, when you're doing labor, and you can put them all in the same oven. It's not a problem. Yes?
Just one step back. The stove top, as Rav mentioned, to put a piece of silver foil over each grate individually when you put it on. The problem I had is, how do you keep that piece of silver foil down? Because the heat just pops right off.
If you put a heavier edge, if you tent it up a little bit, it should stay down in place. And if you want, you can put something, a stone or something, on top of it, just to, you know, keep it in place. And there was no problem putting a stone on it. Yeah, Billy.
More of the oven, very open, like you should say, the pan that comes out. That sometimes stuff gets underneath there. Is there any issue with that stuff there? Do you have to clean that beforehand?
If the stuff underneath, you should clean on these issues. Definitely should clean it out. I mean, I've had many, many discussions on this subject. This is a question in commercial kashrus, but the same remains true in individual kashrus too. I mean, to whatever extent you can take out the parts that come out, and there are seams, you should take out and clean with cleansers under them. You should not just be soymich even throughout the year, and just, you know, it's going to burn up. Bali b'di'evet, you'll be fine, but lechatchila, everyone agrees. I mean, this is a matter of, that's a hat, you know, among the rabbonim around town, in general for commercial kashas particularly. The almost universally accepted standard today is to clean it, to take all the kismanishes and kishkas of the oven that you can, that comes out, clean behind it, and then, you know, put it back in and then burn the oven. And Michael.
The Rav says that for a self-cleaning oven, it does not necessitate that we remove all the
door. Correct. If you want to, matoy v'manon, but I don't, there's no chiyuv to do it. I'm still not sure. It's not, you know, it's not subject to Iroi, really. Iroi is not the right solution for it. It's usually, you know, I'm not comfortable, because there's a lot of things with dry heat that go on. The Shulchan Aruch says that kashering for Pesach, I mean, even throughout the year, has to incorporate two things. The most common way that we have a problem, and the least common way that we have the problem. And on the stovetops, we have a combination of both dry and wet heat as the cause of the blia. The dry, the wet heat we could deal with, but the dry heat is not so easy to deal with.
So if you use the same method for using the grates,
it's not going to get there. It will not, since it's not doing the grates, part of the cheshbon with the grates, just to go aside the theory, but the theory doesn't form the practice. The reason that we are relatively making with the grates is because since the fire is there constantly, we are not particularly concerned that it absorbed anything. Whereas in the sides of the oven, where you don't have a fire burning constantly, it does absorb. It does get hot and absorb. And therefore, we would be much more machmer on what the standard is for the leaven kavur.
So the Rebbe would suggest that you have to cover the stainless
steel. That's my suggestion. If you don't want to do it, do what you do in Israel. You know, in Israel, Israel's an amazing place. Everything works in an amazing fashion in Israel. In Israel, if you buy an oven, no matter where in the world you buy it, you buy a separate oven top for Pesach. It's an amazing thing. There's no, everyone that I know in Israel, when they buy an oven, they buy another top. They figure out how to detach the oven top that's there, and they buy a whole new top as part of buying the oven, which they use for Pesach, and then put away again. You should close. You should cover. Wash it and then cover it. Yeah. Yes.
Are you supposed to cover the knobs on the stove?
The knobs on the stove, I cannot tell you, you're absolutely mechuyev to. It's not a bad idea if you do, because they're hard to say that they're 100% kosher. You know, what are we going to do with them? Dump them in boiling water? You know, I'm not. They are plastic, so there's a mylon covering them. It's not an absolute chiyev, but you're better off if you do cover them. That's what I could tell you. And what I would suggest you do, principally, is to take them off and soak them in a cup of water and ammonia, which will remove everything, that all the gook that's on them.
Because by covering it, you can't really see how to, like, what's on, what's off. Unless you cover it with clear plastic.
You know, plastic is not so good to use around the oven. I don't recommend using plastic around the oven. You know, unfortunately, I think it was last Pesach, if I remember correctly, right, and you write it there right as Yontif was about to begin. Unfortunately, someone's house burned down in this neighborhood a few blocks down that way, you know. So we're not looking, I don't know why, what the cause of it was in his particular case, but we do have to be careful in terms of things which are flammable. So again, is it a chiyuv? No, I'm not telling you it's a chiyuv, it's a milah. So you do what, you know, works for you. Yes. No. Listen, the fire, you don't need. You just put it over the top.
But it's allowed to touch the grates themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
And the fire isn't really hot.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be, it suffices. You don't have to do more than that.
The Rav mentioned the self-cleaning. The Rav mentioned an oven to take off the bottom tray. If you can take it off. Even the self-cleaning ovens, you can't. You're not supposed to take off that bottom of the oven. You can. You risk damaging somebody else.
I'm not telling you that you should do things that are going to damage the oven. You know, if it's going to cause damage, then be something that it'll burn up and it'll be fine, you know? Yeah. Yes?
You put the water down first underneath the grates, and then you
put it on top of the grate. Top of the grate. You want the flame to come up from the bottom. The aluminum foil is just to trap the heat. Now, let's talk about sinks. Sinks, from my standpoint of what I need to be involved in the halacha, come in two types: stainless and non-stainless. Now, the first thing you have to do with the sink is close the hot water to the sink 24 hours before you want to kosher it. And what basically, which that means climb under the sink and find the check valve and close the hot water. Because if you don't close the hot water, I guarantee you someone's going to come in the 24 hours and they will open the hot water. And the police department will come because there will be a murder in Kew Gardens Hills. So climb under the sink, close the hot water valve 24 hours before you want a kasher, and you won't be calling up the rov and saying, oh, somebody put on the hot water, what do I do now? You know. So now, step number one. Now, after that ends, we have a kosher LePesach stovetop already. You take a kosher LePesach kettle, you boil it up in hot water, and you pour it all over the sink. Now, it's irrespective whether the sink is stainless or non-stainless, I'll explain to you. But you have to be patient, because the stream of water should directly pour down as much as possible directly on each spot in the oven. You don't want it to go down and splash to another place. We're dealing that the stream itself slowly pour, go little by little, and as much as possible that the stream should hit every single place in the oven directly. In the sink directly. Yeah. Now we'll get there. We'll get to that soon. Now sometimes you may if when I finish things, I didn't cover all your points, please ask the questions. But I think that I'm going to cover all the points. We'll find out. Now, be patient. It may take more than one kettle to do it. When we kasher in my house, we usually run around three different kettles simultaneously, so that we have a good supply of hot water. Now, before you start with the sink, you realize whatever you use is the stopper in the sink the whole year, you should put away for Yontif and get whatever stopper you use, you should get a new stopper for Pesach. Before you start, you should take some ammonia and dump ammonia down the drain, because there is chametz that falls down the drain. Now, the chametz that's been down there for a while is pogo, is no longer significant, but chametz that fell down in the last day or so may not yet have reached such a point. And it's amazing, if you ever see the plumber come, what comes out when they open up the pipes under the sink. So therefore, it's a good thing to throw some ammonia down there as well, so that should cause the deterioration of whatever food has fallen down the sink. Now, we do need to kasher the spelt. The spelt is a very sensitive place, because if we have... let's say you make spaghetti and you strain it in the sink, it is very likely that water coming straight out of chametz tikka wheat splashed directly on the spelt as well. So we need to dump hot water on the spelt. Now the strainer, if you have a removable strainer, you should remove the strainer and send it on its way to the happy hunting grounds, and go to the hardware store, and for somewhere about a dollar or so you can buy a new one. And after you've kashered, you'll put that in. But you have to kasher with pouring water over the spout, and you should take the kettle and put it under the spout as well, and splash up on the bottom of the spout as well. That's very, very important. Now, if you have a stainless steel sink, once you finish pouring water all over it, then you're finished. You don't have to do anything else, and it's fine for Yontif. If you don't have a stainless steel sink, I still advise that you pour hot water on it, because we are in a halachically gray area, if we can kasher such materials for Pesach or not. It's a gray. We're not absolutely convinced that we can, nor are we absolutely convinced among the Pesachim that one can't. So therefore, one has an advantage from dumping up water in case something bumps into the sink. It allows us to be much more makel in terms of the psak. But after I've dumped the hot water, if it's a non-stainless sink, this thing should be lined with whatever you choose to line it with. Whether you want to buy one of these plastic commercial liners, whether you want to use aluminum foil, whatever you like. But it should be lined. And including, obviously, now the countertops around the sink, again, coming from the halachic standpoint, in two types. The two types, from my perspective, are real granite, and everything else is not real granite. If it's not real granite, whether it's Corel, whether it's Formica, or whatever else in the world they may have dreamed up to use for them, if it's granite, then despite the fact that the granite has sealers to prevent it from getting stained, nevertheless, he can take off water, pour it over the countertops just as he poured it over the sink, and they're 100% kosher for Pesach, and they do not need to be covered. If they're anything other than real granite, then after pouring hot water over them, which is again preferable to do as I've outlined by the sinks, you should cover them in some particular fashion. The covering should have enough thickness that the heat will not get through it, and if it's in fact, you cover it with some type of plastic as well, so that you don't have like hot oil, you know, going down and hitting the countertop underneath and being in contact with the pot on it, or whatever is on it, if you tend to put warmish or hot things there, that's also important. Now what's also very important is the splashbacks around the areas around the countertops. The splashbacks should also be covered. And I'm talking the splashbacks also obviously around the stovetop should also be covered. And to, just to digress for a moment, to go back, if you have a hood over the oven, the hood itself should be covered for Pesach. I do not use the fans at all, and I cover the hood totally with aluminum foil. And I leave it covered the entire yontif, because yes, a certain amount of steam does go up. Now, if throughout the year, my estimation is that it's not normally hot, now the worst is that maybe some tiny speck, you know, falls back down during the, throughout the year, the halacha ingeniously provided us with two protections. And oftentimes people call me, and after I give them the psak and I tell them that whatever the shaila was, that it was, that it's not treif, I tell them to make treif, you have to work harder. It's not so simple to make treif. And that stems principally for two reasons. Number one, we have a halachic principle of nois and tam lifgam, that as long as we're dealing with chametz, which is not an act, I mean, anything which is meat, milk, etc., but something which is not an actual piece, is only something which was absorbed 24 hours after it happened, it is halachically non-significant in 99% of the cases. Knives and sharp things are the exception, which rather proves the rule, but other than that, 99% of things have no halachic significance after 24 hours. So if I cook the chicken soup in the pot that I normally cook milk in, but I haven't used the pot for 24 hours, the chicken soup will remain kosher. I will have to kosherize the pot. That's a different problem, but the chicken soup will actually be kosher. Secondly, we have what's called bittul v'shisha. If I have in volume less than 1/60th, or let's say a drop of milk, should just spill in, a kid goes by, climbs up next to the stove, and he drops a drop of milk from his bottle into the chicken soup before Shabbos, the soup remains 100% kosher. But it's bottle v'shisha. The problem on Pesach is both of these principles lapse, particularly in Ashkenazic practice, the Sfardim are more mekel than we are. In universal practice, there's no bittul v'shishim on Pesach. Even the tiniest speck of chametz causes the food to become prohibited. In Sephardic practice, there is still the principle, as explained in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Mem Zayin Sif Yud, of nois and tam lifgam, that after 24 hours, it has no effect. But in Ashkenazic practice, in this particular halacha, the Ashkenazim are more machmer, and according to us, even after 24 hours, we have a problem. Different communities and different issues tended to be machmer and mekel, and that's not, you know, there's no one community that's machmer and mekel and everything. And I always tell people, a simple gauge of that is from, according to the Sephardic tradition, the Ashkenazic blat kosher is treif. Okay? So, you know, nobody should think that any one particular community has all the chumras, you know? Every community has its chumras and its kulas according to its mesorah. So, in the here, when it comes to nois and tam lifgam, that something which wasn't used for more than 24 hours, in the Sephardic tradition is more meiko. In the Sephardic tradition, if you took a chumras to kapat and you cooked the chicken soup on Pesach, and it hadn't been used for 24 hours, the Rav, the Chacham, would tell you that it's permissible to be used on Pesach. And according to the Ashkenazic practice, you could not use it. Okay, but that's, again. So that's why we have to be particularly careful on Pesach, because it's not only small pieces of food, but even flavorings which were once absorbed and are otherwise halachically insignificant, but on Pesach, they assume very significant proportions. Now, going back to the sinks, there are a number of, the sprayer which is made of plastic, etc., just cover it up and don't bother to use it for Pesach at all. I don't really have a means, I don't think there's any ready means of koshering it. I think if you want to replace the mechanism, you probably could. But, because also things tend to splash on it throughout the year. Now, I think that I've covered everything with the sinks. Oh, yeah, I skipped one line here, yeah. If you put, I skipped it on the line, the first line here, I skipped. And that is, if you're in your lifestyle, you tend to take hot pots and put them directly into the sink, then even if you have a stainless steel sink, it is not so easy to kosher. Because I mentioned previously that in koshering, that we have to do two things. We have to kosherize it in a way which deals with the normal way that it's used, and we have to deal with the odd uses as well. Now, principally, a sink becomes, now kosherizing deals with two types of processes. We've talked about dumping hot water on things, or we're going to talk later about boiling things in hot water, those things which, where the use takes place with liquid, so we kosherize with hot water. Those things where the cooking takes place with dry heat, so we have to kosherize with dry heat, and they're much more difficult to kosherize, because the heat tends to be a lot more intense with dry heat. If we take a hot pot and we put it down directly, if I have a milchik and fleishig sink and it's stainless, I may in fact take a hot pot right off the stove and put it down on a stainless sink. It's not going to cause damage to the sink. Now, there may be noodles on the bottom of the sink when I put the pot down. So that was absorbed by the sink, not by wet heat, but rather by dry heat. So I have to kosherize it in such a fashion too. Because I shouldn't say it's dry heat, but rather I put it incorrectly. What happened, the pot itself is what's called a kli rishon. It's hot from the fire, and now on the spot, it caused something to get absorbed. Now, if something was absorbed by pouring, so then all I have to do to kosherize it is to pour water as well. If it was, came in contact with a hot pot, so I have to bring a similar something hot directly in contact with it to kosherize it. And here, what I have to do is pouring water from the kettle, that's not the same as water that's in the pot itself. Consequently, what I have to do is, the halacha says I have to take a hot stone or a hot piece of metal, and as I pour the water, push that stone along so it boils the water along the way, which is a very difficult process. I don't particularly recommend it for people to do it in your own house, unless you are a professional in kashrus, because you're likely either to cause damage or to hurt yourself, chas v'shalom. It's not easy to do. If you want, they have certain immersion coils that you could use, that you could put into the sink. You could fill it up and boil the water in the sink itself, which would suffice for a stainless sink then, without having to pour water at all. And then you wouldn't have to cover it. And if you're not going to do that, if you put hot pots directly into the sink, then you haven't done either the process of running a hot stone together with the hot water, or using an immersion coil to boil the water in the sink itself, then you have to cover a stainless steel sink as well. Yes?
I'm sorry. The rub's referring to if you take it and put it right onto the base of the sink.
Right on the base of the sink.
Not if you have something that sits in the sink and that's
No, I'm not going to wreck.
Gusts into the base.
Right. If you put it directly on the sink itself, then you have problems. Yes?
A non-granite countertop.
I pour hot water on it and I cover it with a significant covering. I would put more than one layer of aluminum foil if I put aluminum foil. I would put at least two. Because of the fact, countertops are heavy use places. And if you put one, it's going to tear. Two, you're likely to survive Yom Tov. Yes?
When I cover the back of my stove, you know, like going all the way up, if you totally cover it with aluminum foil, the vents.
No, punch holes for the vents. You must punch holes for the vents. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. No, you don't have to wait. You only have to wait before you kosher them. Once, same thing. Once you kosher, you can't use them for 24 hours before.
But you can use them right away.
Yes. If you put hot pots directly on the granite countertops, you're going to have the same problem koshering the granite countertops. That means you're going to have to take something like a hot stone, put the hot water and run it over the hot water so it causes the water to get hot on the granite itself.